Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know. If she's there, she's there. Okay, Margaret, go ahead.
Yes, Phil, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yes, I'm out in front of the Beverly Center, and I wanted to pull over and talk to you about what you had said about the anthrax antidotes that a lot of people in Hollywood are looking for.
Yeah, and what are you doing? You're at a payphone?
Yes.
You don't have a cell phone?
No, I do not have a cell phone. Frank has my cell phone. But more to the point, I wanted to know what... I was very offended by what you said.
Yeah, well, you were offended by me saying, what are movie stars and Hollywood people running around trying to get an anthrax antidote for? What makes them so special?
You know, Phil, the investment in terms of money in our actor and in our actress is upwards of billions of dollars.
Well, are you telling me that they're more entitled to an anthrax antidote than the rest of us?
No, I don't think I'm saying they're more entitled. I think it makes sense economically that Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston... Brad Pitt makes $40 million. He made $40 million last year.
So what?
So what? Do you know that he recycles that money back into the economy? Do you know that Jennifer Aniston recycles her money back into the economy? What do you think happens if Brad Pitt comes down with anthrax, if a bioterrorist attack takes place on one of our studios, and Jennifer Aniston suddenly has... If there's a yeast infection she can't get rid of, I don't know. I'm simply asking...
Well, so what? $40 million a year...
That is a lot of money. How much money do you spend to watch your plumber?
Come on, Margaret.
How much money did you spend last weekend to watch your plumber fix a sprinkler head?
I didn't spend any money last weekend to watch my plumber fix a sprinkler head.
How much money did you spend last weekend watching Moby?
I didn't watch any... I don't watch Moby, okay?
You don't know who Moby is, do you?
Yeah, I know who he is. I don't watch that cat.
Boy, you're really... Where have you been?
Oh, forget it. Will you? Where have I been?
The point is that we've got an awful lot of our fine young actors and actresses. They need the antidote. The actor needs to be protected. The actress needs to be protected. And
what about the rest of us is what I'm trying to say. What are these knuckleheads... going around trying to get their anthrax antidote, whoever these people are. I don't even want to indict actors and actresses. I don't know who they are. What I'm saying is, and forget about the rest of us. I don't even believe that there's a credible threat in terms of bioterrorism. But why, what are you saying?
What are you saying?
I just said they were silly.
Well, when it comes to our actor and actress, I don't think it's silly. Jennifer Aniston spends a lot of money in the economy.
Okay, she spends a lot of money in the economy.
Sterling silver, Tampax boxes, anything that is unusual in terms of expense. What are you going to do? And aren't you going to feel like the asshole? If Al Pacino has rabies, if Angela Lansbury on stage in New York starts bleeding into her shorts... All of these things...
Why are you saying these things? Are you saying these things to simply scare people? Are you...
No, I am saying these things to let people know how valuable the actor or the actress are. And if they need the anthrax antidote, if they need to get to the head of the line, I think they should. That is the point I'm trying to make. And I'll make that point next week at the Hollywood Writers Convention, of which I'm going to be the chair. Now,
the actor and actress should get to the front of the line when it comes to the anthrax antidote. Boy, that's a comment for the ages. That is unbelievable.
You start filming a $100 million budget film. You watch Ben Affleck and Will Smith begin convulsing. Then you tell me what you want to do.
What the hell are you talking about, Will Smith and Ben Affleck convulsing?
If a bioterrorist attack were to take place... And Ben Affleck and Will Smith are your two prime stars, and they begin filling their shorts with blood and convulsing.
Oh, will you stop it with that?
That's what we're looking at.
Please. It's frightening to me.
You better believe it's frightening.
Okay, if I saw my own family coming down with those symptoms, if I saw myself coming down with those symptoms, guess who's going to the front of the line?
You.
You got that right. Me and them. And I would say very respectfully, excuse me, Ms. Aniston, you won't mind if I get my anthrax antidote ahead of you. I got four kids. All you got's your husband.
All you got is your $40 million a year husband.
You know, you're hitting this money thing hard, and I know why. You're saying...
Why? Because you don't like people with money?
No, you're... No, it has nothing to do with that.
Then why?
You're saying the guy makes so much money, he recycles a lot of bread back into the economy. And this comment about Al Pacino coming down with rabies is beyond, you know, it's just beyond the pale.
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil, I don't know what bioterrorism is. I don't know. But the actor is America's investment. Get in line for your vaccine behind our actor and actress. Get them the antidote. Then we can talk about you.
I don't believe you, but I don't believe... What if they were in line in front of your son?
My son's an actor.
Your son, Jason J. Delmonico? Okay, yeah, technically he's... What if he wasn't?
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Okay, let me tell you something. You get in line in front of my family because your son, Jason J. Delmonico, is an actor, and therefore he needs to get the anthrax antidote before anybody else. There's going to be trouble.
You can threaten me all you want, but I'm a mother. And I think you've seen the way mothers and how they react in nature. Don't get between a dog and his meat. Don't, I won't back down. I'm like a mother skunk out of the den, hearing footsteps in a vacant lot.
Whatever that means. 1-800-449-8686.
You know what it means.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. I was simply commenting that the movie, I don't know who they are, the Hollywood crowd, there's some of them running around trying to get their anthrax antidotes, okay? And what do you mean, sterling silver Tampax boxes?
I'm saying the recirculation of money. The only thing Jennifer Aniston doesn't buy, obviously, are brassieres. But I would...
Okay, forget that, all right? We're talking about the millions of dollars made by these people and the fact that you think they're entitled to the anthrax vaccine in front of everybody else.
You know something, Phil, I don't mean to sound heartless.
Well, you do.
I'm simply trying to articulate a point about how valuable they are to us. As our spokespeople, as the people we look up to, the fact that so many of them are disease-free, I think it would be a devastating blow to the American economy and to the American psyche to suddenly see open running sores on Haley Joel Osment's face, to suddenly see a Brad Pitt spitting up blood.
Come on!
I'm saying it would...
Yeah, it would be a real bad thing to our psyche. It would be a bad thing to our psyche if I saw my neighbors, if that happened to them. Stella, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Stella.
Hi. I got a point with this woman who's talking to you.
Stella, this is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. Margaret, I'm sorry, but I don't think that a movie star is more important, their life is more important than mine. And you're talking about them putting money into the economy. I just bought a new van.
Stella, I want to give you a hypothetical. You're the director of a $100 million film. The main players are Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt. Let's say it's The Mexican, the most recent bomb, I mean the most recent film that they did, all right?
Okay.
Suddenly, Julia Roberts has an open-running sore on her lip. That spreads, turns into a pustule that explodes.
Oh, will you please?
What do you do? Do you keep filming? Do you keep filming?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Are they going to keep filming if there's not people around to watch their films? Like I said, my life is just as important as their life.
Well, there'll always be people to watch films. It's something that we really can't stop doing.
No, let's explore that.
Stella, you're saying about the chemical warfare thing.
Stella said something very, very important. What if there was nobody around to watch the movies? What if the chemical, biochemical... Well, you go ahead, Stella.
Yeah, let her say it, because you're obviously screwing it up.
He's not screwing nothing up.
Well, I can't understand a word he's saying.
If you can let me talk.
If we lost our wonderful actors, what would the world be like? Pus-ridden place.
Go ahead, Stella. Go talk.
Okay. If they brought over and did the chemical thing to us.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You're saying that the movie store should have the antidote before we should.
I believe so because of the money they've turned into our economy and the sterling silver Tampax. But
will you forget that?
Will you let me talk? Anyways, if we're not around to watch these movie stars because we died from this chemical thing that they sent over here, and the movie stars are all safe, who's going to be around to watch them?
The people will be around, and you're going to laugh at this, but the other movie stars can watch each other's movies. How am I sick?
You are sick.
Wait a minute.
Because the movie stars are not the only people that walk the planet.
No, they're
not the only ones who spend money.
They can subsidize each other because they have the money.
Like I said, I just bought a brand new van right after all this happened. I did something for the economy.
Well,
just because movie stars
go and
buy
purses. I got to ask Margaret a question. How do you mean the movie stars are going to subsidize each other?
Think of it, will you please? Brad Pitt makes $40 million a year. So let's say he's the only one left to go see a Julia Roberts movie. She charges him $2 million to see her movie. He gives...
Great.
You know, you're really, really rude.
I'm sorry.
You're really, really rude.
I'm sorry.
$2 million to see her movie, and then what does she do?
Then he charges her $2 million to see his movie. Oh. Jennifer's Tampax box costs two times as much as your new van.
What is with a Tampax box?
Yeah, whatever the sterling silver.
Phil, I'm telling you, Brad Pitt's underwear costs more than your car.
Oh, give me a break.
It does.
How do you know that? Are you a movie star?
All right, look, Stella.
Well, you know something? I've interviewed them. I've been around them. I've partied with
them. Do you know how much
them.
They pay for their underwear?
I feel I know them.
Do you know how much they pay for their underwear?
You know what? As a reporter, yes, I do find myself in their bedrooms, and I do find myself going through the drawers.
Oh, like a paparazzi,
I do find myself going through the drawers in their bureaus, yes.
Well, that's
how dare you, God. Going through the boy, that must be the most pathetic thing.
I am a reporter.
Nosing through someone's dirty hamper. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray. You know who ought to go to the front of the line for the anthrax antidote? The movie stars, she says, because they pump so much money into the economy. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't understand. You're telling me you go to a film, and in that film, Julia Roberts is performing.
Right.
And she has contracted anthrax, which among its many symptoms creates a severe rectal itch. And so there's Julia Roberts for all the world and God to see with her finger right up her crack.
No. Wait a minute, man. There's no director in hell that's going to keep that scene in. Okay?
No, I know that, but in the dailies, in the rushes, when the crew is sitting around looking at it, and there she is with her finger up her rear end, don't you think that would have some kind of an impact on her career?
I don't see why not. They'll just pay $2 million to see her movie, and then she'll pay $2 million to see there, and everybody will hire everybody else.
And bleeding from the eyes.
Oh, stop with the bleeding. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. You're coming up with a lot of phony baloney symptoms of diseases. Jennifer, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are
you? You want to do some reading, Phil?
I'll do some reading. I don't think you've done any reading.
Hello. Yes.
Margaret, I just want to let you know how bad you contradicted yourself earlier. Phil tried to give you a hypothetical situation, and you told him you did not deal with hypotheticals. And then when Stella called, you said, let me give you a hypothetical situation.
Well, whatever. Is that the basic
whatever.
You know something? I'm
no, I think
trying...
you need to be quiet. This is my dime, okay?
Your dime.
You're totally contradicting yourself, okay?
It's a 1-800 number, darling. There is no
okay,
dime.
I still get charged on my cell phone for 800 numbers. Thank you.
Oh, well,
okay,
that's a bad
anyway.
Plan. Maybe you should get a better plan.
Anyway.
You're the one at a phone booth.
Because I wanted to defend our actor.
Well, our actor is not as precious as every individual in this country. I love actors just as much as the next person. But our community would not be totally destroyed if the actors were bleeding from the eyes or blood dropping out of their butt. Okay? It's going to be just as devastating if my next-door neighbor has that crap happening while they're outside playing with my children.
Absolutely. Listen, your children are precious to you. My children are precious to me. But
well,
you know,
don't get on the
I'm
air
gonna
and
say something. I'm going to say something you won't agree with. I would be happy to sacrifice at least part of my son's health so I don't have to be put through the disgusting spectacle of Julia. I am so upset, Phil.
Oh, you
right,
are psycho.
Okay.
If you're going to sacrifice your child's health for some actor that you don't even know,
that is
just psycho. You are nuts. I'm sorry. You do not
sacrifice your
children. You don't sacrifice your children for nothing.
So in other words,
and if you think our children are the most precious things in this world, we can grow new actors.
So you want to be put through the spectacle of Julia Roberts with a finger shoved up her crack. Is that it?
I don't care. It's going to be a lot worse to see my child acting like
that. They're not going to keep...
Okay?
They're not going to keep...
That's Julia Roberts' problem. She's not my problem. My problem is my children. It is our responsibility to rebuild this nation with our children.
What director in his right mind would leave
Thank
that
you.
Scene in?
And well, if something happened like that, Julia Roberts would not be filming a movie
with
while something like that was happening to her.
With her hips thrust forward and her finger.
Excuse me, have you experienced the anthrax virus personally? That you know these symptoms so well?
My understanding is it creates a vaginal itch.
Okay, we don't need to have all of that.
I think your vaginal itch may come from something else, honey.
How dare you?
I mean, please.
How dare you?
How dare you get on the air and act like a stupid idiot? Please.
You know,
you need to take your quarter out of the machine and go somewhere else. I mean, give me a break. If you're going to sacrifice our children for some actors
in other words, you would not even consider sacrificing your child if the next citizen came
If I am standing in line for an antidote, if I am standing in line for an antidote, I am not going to let Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, I'm not going to let nobody cut in line. I am sorry. Not if my money is just as good as theirs. Everybody else in this world has just as much money and some more than these actors.
Jennifer, no one wants to see Julia Roberts.
Oh, please.
Drag her ass across a driveway like a dog.
I don't want to see my children doing that either.
And the idea that you'd sacrifice your child's life if...
Thank you.
You know...
If we could have another AI...
Oh, if we could have another AI, yes.
You need to get a life and get out of the movies.
I live in the movies.
I mean,
I live in the
real life out here. There's this thing called life going on outside of the movies.
Many of them are my dear friends.
Well, you better tell your dear friends that they get in line for the anthrax fest. And let's keep in mind this, Jennifer. None of these actors or actresses that we're talking about have ever said anything about wanting anthrax vaccine. You know that.
Well, how do you know? You don't know any of them. I do.
You don't know Brad
Pitt. I can guarantee you these actors and actresses would not expect to go to the front of the line. And if they do, they need their asses kicked out.
And you know something else? Julia Roberts would be ashamed to hear you talking dragging her rear end across the driveway like a dog.
And all these people would be ashamed for you even mentioning their name like
that. I am simply trying to protect her life.
You're making her sound like an idiot. Drag her ass on the driveway like
a dog. You're making yourself sound like an idiot.
That vaginal itch crack, I noted that. Don't worry about it.
Well, you note it all day long, honey, because, you know, your morals are right down the toilet.
Oh, man. If I had business in Houston...
Please.
Think I'm chicken, huh?
Okay, you know, grow up, will you?
Yeah.
You laughing at... Don't laugh at me.
Well, Phil Henry,
thank you for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it.
You allow people to come on the air. You allow them to ridicule me. You allow them to...
You allow them nothing. You got rectal itch and every other thing. Anthrax is a deadly disease. Here is Cindy on the Phil Henry Show. Cindy? Or no other calls, Mike? Okay, Cindy, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Fine.
First of all, I'll put Julia Roberts
right in front of even the man who makes the vaccine.
I've been listening to this, and I've come to realize that I think this is probably all a put on because she can't honestly be for real.
You know something? You can let
and for somebody
die,
who has so much money, hey Margaret,
like
for somebody for who,
want...
somebody has so much money as you say
You've
you do. Why are you stopping on the side of the road to use a payphone?
My husband has my cell phone, and I always
But you can't afford two cell phones?
Number two, if you think the death of children is funny, and you think that's something to joke about, that's your sickness.
No, you know what, Margaret? You're the joke here.
I think Bin Laden lobbed a sick joke virus on you.
I think you're the joke, and I think you need to take... Why are you even giving her airtime,
Bill?
Well,
she's talking about the... First of all, there was a rumor here in Los Angeles that a lot in the Hollywood community were looking for anthrax vaccine, anthrax antidote, which I don't necessarily believe.
But you give me a half hour of airtime, and then you let little women like this come on and insult me.
First of all, I've never been more hurt
in my life. And now I'm bleeding from my rear end.
Okay, that's fine. Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'll go to our open lines here. Let's go to Lancaster. Hello? Lancaster, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Sir, I'm calling from Lancaster. I'm Austin. And I think there's a lot of confusion, Phil. I think that a lot of your listeners would be interested to know.
Where are you right now, sir? Because I can hear a lot of stuff going on.
I'm over at a pumpkin patch. My daughter's picking out a pumpkin.
At a pumpkin patch?
Yeah. My daughter, my wife had me go up with my daughter to pick out a pumpkin. But
all right, go ahead.
I think that there's a lot of confusion out there, that, and they don't tell you the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh. Now, I'm not saying that it's right to say nothing to them, but I think it is suspicious that if you're any kind of a guy who is wears a turban or anything, and you've got a gas station, we got a guy that owns a gas station, a guy that wears a turban that owns a gas station.
Well, when you say wears a turban, what is he?
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's what I wanted to tell you. He owns a gas station that's not selling flags and flag pins. On top of that, he's got this turban.
Well, what is he?
Well, he said he's Sikh. But I said, I thought he was Muslim, because I went in there and I said, how come you are not selling no flags? Because if you're a Muslim, don't you think you'd want to be make yourself look good to the American people?
Well, I you know what, I'm not going to comment on that.
No, but that's what I said. And he said, I'm not a Muslim, and I don't care whether I sell American flags or not. And I said, well, what are you? And he says, I'm Sikh. And I'm like, how are you supposed to know it? That's why I say there's a lot of confusion. I would never have said anything to this guy if he wasn't done up to look like a Muslim.
Okay, so if you known he was Sikh and not a Muslim, you wouldn't have said, how come you're not selling American flags?
Yeah.
Well, why should he sell American flags if he's a Muslim, but it wouldn't make any difference if he was a Sikh?
Because, say that again?
Why would you care whether he sold flags or not if he was a Muslim, but not care if he sold flags or not at his gas station because he's a Sikh?
Because we're not at war. We're not at war with the Muslim people.
That's right. But President Bush said that.
But the Muslims, you would think, would try to show more of the patriotism than the rest of them.
Let me ask you, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Yes, sir.
I'm a cabinet maker.
You're a carpenter?
I'm a cabinet maker. I do interior carpentry, yeah.
Okay. So do you have a flag on your truck?
I don't have a flag on my truck, no. Because when they started selling, they sold out, okay? And so I was not able to get one, but I do have one on my house.
You don't have one on your truck?
Well, I just couldn't get a hold of them.
I'm telling you right now, they're selling them all over the place. Anybody that doesn't have a flag in their car and wants to have a flag in their car, they ought to put it, but never mind about that. You got one on your house, you got one on your house.
Muslims got a little bit more to prove than other groups. And you hear all the other talk shows call people stupid and uninformed. I think you need to know, Mr. Henry, there's a lot of confusion.
Well, a Muslim...
What's the difference?
What?
Well, how do you know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh?
First of all, I would say this to you. Why do you need to know the difference?
Just because I want to.
Just because you want to. You're going to have to come up with a better reason than that.
Because I think it's important. You wouldn't have a lot of these Sikhs getting the crap kicked out of them if people knew that they're...
Oh, I see. If they knew they were Sikhs, they didn't know they were Muslim. Then if they knew what a Muslim looked like, they'd beat the crap out of the right guy. You're not going to get me hooked into this conversation, sir.
No. I don't want to beat up anybody. I just wanted to ask the Muslim guy, which I now know he was a Sikh, why he wasn't selling flags.
You wanted to ask the Muslim guy, which you now know is a Sikh, why he wasn't selling flags.
Yes, sir.
Well, you found out that he was a Sikh by asking him.
Well, that's true, but by the same token, you need to be able to see what the difference is. How do you know?
Ask him.
But how do you know if you don't have an opportunity? What if you're just driving down the street and you see him walking? What, am I going to pull over and say, excuse me, are you a Muslim or a Sikh?
Yeah, that'd be a great thing. Hey, excuse me, are you a Muslim or are you a Sikh?
So there's no difference.
I didn't say there wasn't any difference.
Well, you're saying you don't know.
I know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh.
Well, that's all I'm asking you. What is that?
A Muslim believes in the Quran, and a Sikh believes in something else.
No, the way they look. How do you know the difference between a Muslim turban? They tell me that the Sikhs are okay. Then I look on TV and I see some guy with a tablecloth on his head. And
it's not a tablecloth, sir, and we don't have to go down there.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. You see some who wear a towel and the others wear a tablecloth, and the Sikhs, like, wear a shirt. I mean, there's three different...
No, it isn't. It's the Sikh wears a turban that's more like a... It's more...
Like those Abbott and Costello movies.
What?
The turban that the Sikh wears looks more like an Abbott and Costello movie, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's more... You mean like the classic...
Yeah, that thing like in Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. The dudes who knew the mummy.
The dudes who knew the mummy.
They wear...
You know, sir, I got to tell you something.
The big jewel in the middle.
Just hold on for a minute. You know, one of the things that I think is happening here, this is so wrong and so bad because you sound stupid.
Mr. Henry,
No, you sound stupid. And when you talk this way, people say, who are not from America and who don't know much about our country, listen to the dumbass who doesn't know the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim. Because he thinks a Sikh wears a turban like the one that guy wears in the Abbott and Costello movie. Whatever that...
The one with the jewel in the middle.
Yeah, the one with the jewel in the middle. And then you compare... Who wears a tablecloth?
That's all I'm saying, sir, is that if you look at Yasser Arafat, that thing he wears like it's a tablecloth with a ring over his head.
And then the one that the Muslims wear...
The one that the Muslims wear, I don't know what that is. The guy just ought to sell flags so people know he's of America. That way, even if he's a Muslim, we know he's on the up and up.
Well, this is America, where you don't have to prove that you're on the up and up, okay?
But you don't know?
I don't know the difference. A Muslim has a certain belief. A Sikh has a certain belief. The Sikh seems to wear one of those turbans. You're right. That looks a little bit like the Abbott and Costello Meets the Mummy or whatever.
Yeah, like Boris Karloff wore it.
Yeah, okay. And then
what about the Taliban?
They have kind of a...
It's like they rolled it up or something, or twisted it.
Yeah, it's like a twisted thing that...
That drapes around their head.
That drapes around their head, yeah.
Then how about Yasser Arafat?
That's more like a tablecloth, yeah.
Like a ring. Is that a wooden ring?
It's kind of a wooden ring. I don't know what it is! Hold on for a minute. Is that guy at the pumpkin patch? 1-800-449-8686. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Some dumbass, excuse my language, I shouldn't say it, calls up the show and says, hey, I don't know the difference. There's this kind of turban and that kind of turban and this kind of thing. Oh, yeah, you don't know the difference, huh? Well, what does that mean? If I knew the difference, then I'd know who to hassle. Get that guy back on. Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
So this is all about you wanting to know who to hassle.
No, sir. America is Americans, is Christians and a handful of Jews. We don't know from anything else. It's hard for us. We work hard, and then they expect us to know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh. And I don't want you to get angry at me now. And I believe they're Hindu, the ones who have the dot.
Hindu.
That's Hindu. That's why I told my wife that. But the tablecloth
and the turban with the jewel in the middle, it looks like Abbott and Costello.
I don't know that.
1-800-449-8686. Frankly, I don't know anything about Sikh beliefs. The Muslims, the Christians, whether it's a tablecloth, whether it's a wound-up towel, or whether it's the kind of turban that they wore in Abbott and Costello Meets the Mummy, I don't know. All I do know is there is no sense in finding out the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh just so you'll know who to hassle. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
All right, so in other words, what you're saying there, Mr. Amarka, is it? Mr. Amarka, right?
Yes, sir.
What you're saying is that most Americans don't know the difference between a Sikh, a Muslim, a Hindu, or anything like that, and that's how you get into this profiling?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not about hassling anybody, but I feel pretty, and you're right. I mean, I feel stupid, and I don't want to be stupid. I want to do the right thing. But so.
But when you say that Sikhs look like those guys on an Abbott and Costello movie,
it's the only turban that I've ever seen that looks like what a Sikh wears. Is what the, like a snake charmer? Have you ever seen those guys that play the? And then the snake comes out of a basket.
Yeah, I've seen those guys.
That's the guy who has the turban with the jewel in the middle and wears nothing but underwear. Then there's the one.
He wears more than underwear. I know what you're talking about. That whole snake charmer thing is some kind of a wild Indian stereotype. The Muslims and the Hindu, well, I don't know about the Hindu.
But see, that's the whole thing. A Hindu wears the same damn thing a Sikh does, only he's got a dot in the middle of his forehead.
All right, hold on for a minute here. Your daughter's getting pumpkins at the pumpkin patch?
Yeah, she's picked out another one. You got two of them? She's got two of them now, so.
All right, hold on. Austin, let me go to a phone call here. Danny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my comment is that it's not about being stupid. It's about being hateful. What this guy is hateful.
I'm not hateful about anything.
No, yes, you are. You're hateful, you know.
No, I don't see where you come off saying I'm hateful. All I'm saying is, if you're Muslim, why won't you sell American flags at your gas station?
Why does he have to sell American flags?
Because that lets everybody know that he's on the up and up, and he's not going to fly an airplane into the Space Needle.
What?
Doesn't make any sense. Those guys who flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they could have been selling flags left and right, but they still did what they did. It has nothing to do with selling flags.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do not, sir.
Well, look, if a guy is wearing some kind of a wrapped-up tablecloth on his head, and...
Why do you call it a tablecloth?
Because I don't know what else...
He's hateful.
No, nobody...
It has nothing to do about being ignorant.
Let me ask you a question. Has one Muslim... Since this whole thing come down on September 11th, called up any talk show you ever listened to and explained what that tablecloth on their head is? Has one Muslim called up and said, yeah, we aren't the guys that have the turban with the jewel in the middle of it.
Why should they?
Because I think they want to explain their religion, so we don't think they're all a bunch of damn...
So why don't you, you know what you should do? Why don't you read a book about the Sikhs, about
go.
The Muslims,
you know, you
and then
the,
you see what it is.
The American,
you know?
Isn't there American Muslim Society?
Oh, yeah, listen to you. The American Muslim Society. Is that what it is, Mr. Henry?
I don't know what it's called.
Hey, you, Danny, is that your name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, what do you call it? Who do I call? Where do I go?
Go to the library, pick up a book on Muslims, on Sikhs, on Hinduism, on Arabs, whatever.
If you're online, if you go to the internet and enter in Muslim on the internet, enter in Muslim and dress.
Muslim and dress.
Right, and that'll give you probably some description of what all that stuff means.
Well, exactly. I have a question. I have another comment is that there's a lot of Arabic and Hindus, whatever.
Are you an Arab?
No, I am not. I'm American. And my heritage is from South America and the Caribbean.
Well, see,
I have a grandfather who fought in World War II, and I have my father who fought in the Korean War. So I don't have to prove myself, and they don't have to prove themselves, you know. But the thing is, there's a lot of Arabic, there's a lot of Hispanics that look Arabic.
That's what I'm saying.
Do they have to prove themselves also?
No, your dad and your grandfather don't, but you may have to.
Why should he have to?
If I'm driving down the street and I see him standing out in front of a gas station, all bets are off.
Oh, bull crap. The guy's Hispanic and owns a gas station.
Unless he's got a mustache. Then I know.
You know what it is? Being hateful for whatever reason. The way you were brought up in life,
sir,
whatever.
I'm here with my daughter getting a pumpkin out of a pumpkin patch. I'm doing one of the most American things you can do. All I'm saying is...
You know what you should do is not bug anybody at a gas station, okay? The guy's wearing a turban, he's wearing a turban. Walk up to him, say, excuse me.
Yeah, how would I do it?
Okay, you could go up to him and say...
You don't have to even do it.
Well,
just leave him alone. What is he doing to you that
well,
you have to ask him, what is he? Is he a Sikh or is he an Arab?
What does it have
to do anything with your life? What are you going to get into? Are you going to make some kind of citizen's arrest?
No, and
become a hero or something?
But all I want to do is find out why he wears the kind of turban that was in a mummy movie and why the Muslims, you know...
Would you get off the mummy movie thing?
It's the only way I can describe rabbit.
No, exactly. So then you know what you should do, and I just already explained it to you. Read a book. Go to the internet and look it up. Is that so hard?
My people are not big book readers.
Well,
who's your people?
Well, we're you know, like 15th generation Americans come over, you know. I'm not that smart. I don't come from a lot of book readers.
Well, why don't you start? You got a daughter there, right?
Yeah.
Are you taking your daughter to school?
Of course my daughter goes to school.
Well, how about making her the first generation of your family that moves on and gets a college education or something? Instead of, what is she going to be? She's not going to be big on books either?
Well, I don't know. I would like her to know the difference between the Abbott and Costello.
Would you quit with the Abbott and Costello turban already?
First of all, this country is not ours.
Can your daughter read? Can your daughter read?
Yes, my daughter can read.
Well, then have her look it up on the internet. All right, Danny, thanks for your call. Let me go over to Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
I just in reference to that idiot at the pumpkin patch. You know,
an idiot. How am I an idiot?
He's proposing what Hitler did. Make everybody wear a patch to tell you why you should hate them.
Wait a second. I didn't say any such thing.
Really?
No, I did not. All I said was, how do you know if you...
Hey, Jim, could you watch your language a little bit?
Yeah,
from the Snake Charmer movie, as opposed to the tablecloth that Arafat wears, how do you know the difference?
Who cares what the difference is?
I do, because... One guy may be one of them who wants to fly an airplane into the side of of the Matterhorn.
Yeah, you might be a Ku Klucker.
A Ku Klucker?
Yeah, Ku Klux Klan.
No, it's not
Ku
Klux.
Wear a white sheet.
It's Ku Klux Klan. Ku Klux Klan.
It's not Ku Klux Klan. It's
Klan.
What is it?
Ku Klan Klux.
Why don't you have your daughter look it up?
Honey, would you look up Ku Klan's Klan? Well, we're at the pumpkin patch. I can't do that right now. But I will promise... Kloon Klux Klan, ain't it?
Ku Klux Klan!
What? Klux-a-doodle-doo.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Screw you.
Well, I really want to know... Don't they wear the thing on their head, too? Or is that a sheet?
Yeah, you know something, now that you mention that, dumbass, all those people wear some form of a sheet, don't they? Whether they're the Ku Klux Klan or the Al-Qaeda, they all got sheets on their heads. Interesting. I'm Martha Stewart. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So that guy was really a piece of work. Next Friday, by the way, I was doing the voice there of that guy calling in from the pumpkin patch, that idiot in the pumpkin patch. Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills as part of the 2001 Radio Festival. We'll have some of our fans there. We'll do a special show live, 7 to 10 Pacific. We'd like you to join us. Enter to win a pair of tickets by logging on to philhenryshow.com, 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 and look for the link on the main page. That's this coming Friday, the 26th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific at the Museum of Television and Radio, The Phil Henry Show.